Shalom, saints, and welcome to Reflections on Faith. This is your friend and brother, Jason Zima, welcoming you to the program. And with me in the studio, as usual, is Pastor Andrew Sipiri. Welcome to the program, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Zima. God bless you.
Yes. Today we have another exciting episode, Pastor.
Yes.
And this is a topic that has been regarded as very basic, and in some instances, people think it's not necessary. But I feel it's a very important topic, and it's one of the building blocks of our faith.
Yeah.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the issue of morality, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I feel we need to have this topic emphasized and mm-hmm. dealt with. So can we look at morality in the church? Is it still needed? Some people say, well, what matters is my heart, as long as I follow the Lord and everything. But what's your take on it, Pastor?
Yes. You know, what is going on in the church, and when I say the church, I'm speaking in very general terms. I'm speaking of the happenings among people who identify themselves as Christians. It has become normal to see, for example, people, especially the women folk, dress in any way. They can wear tight clothes, and they can wear tight trousers and all these things which expose all the curvings and the shapings of their body. And even pastors' wives can be all painted up and dress very tight, revealing clothing. And all this is done in the name of, we are in the grace age. God looks at their heart.
That's right.
It is not only the women folk, and there's now a general trend. It's becoming so popular.
Yes.
To see young men wear earrings with all sorts of fancy hairstyles. And this is especially common in charismatic or Pentecostal circles. But, well, it's now widespread. It's all done in the name of what is known as grace. But, well, Brother Nzima, you started by saying this is something people take to be something petty. But, well, anything that I see God speak about or admonish people about in the scriptures, I don't take it as a simple thing. It is something that my Lord, my God, takes interest in. For him to speak it, it means it's an important thing. Now, one of the devil's tactics is to take that which is supposed to be sacred or important to make it very light.
That's right.
Reminds me of the two sons of Aaron. They were called to the priesthood ministry, and every day, well, they would put fire on the altar. But it so happened one day, the scripture says, they offered strange fire before the Lord, and they were judged, they were killed right there and then. And that is what usually happens when people become so used with spiritual things. They feel they can use some new style of doing something or of trying to worship God. And well, do we have new styles today? There are all sorts of musical styles, dress codes, and we are bringing all these things in what we think is the presence of God. But now, Brother Nzima, when we read Exodus 19, verse 10 to 11, the scripture says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now, do you realize that this was the time when God was about to come down and manifest on Mount Sinai? And before that manifestation could come, God speaks to Moses that people need to prepare themselves. They need to wash their clothes. They need to wash their garments. Now, have you ever wondered why God was interested in that? If God is interested in clothing and he had to specify it to the people, then we should take interest in that. What's the nature of this God that we serve? We also see another place, Brother Nzima, if you can read it, in Genesis 35, verse 1 to 4. That is another instance where we are seeing, you know, someone who was called to worship God together with his family. The person was conscious enough to know that this God that we serve is interested in the way we dress, how we carry ourselves. Now, let us see what happened. And this man was Jacob. Let's see what happened in Genesis 35, verse 1 and through 4.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments.
Now hold there. So here is Jacob. This man, of course, had once had an experience with God, and now he has a family. He has these daughters, but yet all this while, up to this point, whatever he had experienced with God was just something of a personal experience. But now that God said to him to arise and to go to Bethel and dwell there, this is a place that God had appeared to him, and he looks at his family, he looks at his daughters, he looks at, well, his wives, and he has the discernment to know that they're not just looking right. They're not dressed right to stand before God. And so he tells them to put away the strange gods that are among you. And one thing I can tell you, Brother Nzima, is there are so many people today who are called Christians. Maybe they took baptism and in all these churches. But they have all sorts of gods which they cherish, which they worship, which they adore in their lives, something they've exalted above the word of God. But if we are truly going to Bethel, well, the house of God, we need to know that we are meeting God.
That's right.
Now, this isn't just speaking of a physical locality, because our very bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, is it not interesting, Brother Nzima, that, well, when it's a Sunday or a Saturday, if someone is an Adventist, well, there's this thing where one may dress anyhow between Monday and Friday, but when it is a Sunday or a Saturday, they want to dress in a churchy way. They don't want to expose their knees, and they want to dress what they call something decent. The other place where people like to do this, especially here in Africa, is at a funeral, where one wants to show, you know, modest dressing. Now, if in the conscience of a person, they know that there is an acceptable way of dressing because I'm going to the house of God. Hey, there is your body, which is a real house of God. If you can take those things to something which is just a physical building, okay, made up of blocks and man-made things. If there is that awareness in you to know that I can't dress in an inappropriate way, think about your body, the very temple, and you go to the house of God and you have that respect for it. But your body should be a temple where the Holy Spirit comes to. So now, the way you dress and the way you display yourself, do you really think you are something that God can call his temple? Now, look at this. These, and when I say these, I mean Jacob and his wives, these were people who lived in a time way before the law of Moses was given. Mm. Jacob is not moving around with a list of 10 commandments.
Mm.
He lived way before the law was given. But even in that time, when God told him to arise and to go to Bethel, he had enough sense to know that these women I'm with, they can't stand or they can't look the way they are before God. Their lives need to change. He could look at these women. Some had idols. They still had a lifestyle of whichever places they came from.
Yes.
And that's the problem we have today. People can follow Jacob. People can go to church. But yet, they're still holding on to the world they came out of. Just like the children of Israel. They were delivered from Egypt. Went into the wilderness. Although they came out of Egypt, Egypt did not come out of them. They still had an inclination towards Egyptian things. But here Jacob tells them to change their garments, their clothing. What does that mean, Brother Nzima? It isn't just about the heart, because whatever is in the heart manifests outwardly, outside. If one says, my heart is clean, but their dressing is filthy, it is all Hollywood stuff designed in a way to lure, you know, the male sex, that's a filthy spirit that dwells in you. And when you look at the way a woman has been, is being dressed in the 20th century, 21st century, the clothing is designed in such a way it either has to show the cleavage where the breasts are, or it has to accentuate the curves of the hips. The dressing styles are designed with certain aspects concentrated on those spots which would arouse feelings in the males. And that is designed on purpose, in case you didn't know. And people say, well, when someone dresses like that, they look sexy. What do such phrases mean? It simply means something which the Lord Jesus Christ pointed to at one time when he said, if a man looks upon a woman lustfully, well, they've committed adultery. What would make a man do that? It is because many times a way in which this woman has presented herself in a way to be an attraction. Now, if one is in the world, is not converted, well, this message is not for them. But if you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a believer, but yet you look at your outfit.
Yes.
It is worldly, and there's no conviction in your heart, something that condemns you of that. Most certainly, there is no spirit of God that speaks to your heart. You are just a religious person, that's all.
Yes.
But as for Jacob, he told his family, no, it's time you make a decision. You throw away all these gods and you change your garments. Jacob knew God is interested in the way we dress and we present ourselves before him.
That's right.
Now, this was not just a one-day thing, because God's voice in verse 1 told Jacob to go and dwell. To dwell means to stay, to live there. So this wasn't just a happenstance of go there for a day and you come back. They were to go and dwell there.
That's right.
So if they gave up all this wrong clothing, that had to be a lifetime decision.
That's right.
Now, verse 3. Yeah, you can read it.
Okay, let me just quickly get to it. All right, verse 3. Mm-hmm. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went.
Yes.
And they gave unto Jacob all now, the strange.
Watch the response they gave to what Jacob told them. Let's see how they responded.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods.
Yes.
Which were in their hands.
And notice it says all the strange gods. Not some gods. All the strange gods. Some of us, we say we are born again, except certain habits. They're still with us.
Yeah,
we are born again, but we still want to hold on to vain things.
Yes.
That painting of the lips and that, what do you call this thing they do to their eyebrows?
Yeah, eyeshadow, putting eyeshadows, eyebrows.
All those things. It's Egyptian daughters who put those things on their faces. Mm. But you know how Christianity has been watered down and so polluted? You have people do all sort of things, you know, to themselves. And there they are. They go in the presence of God saying they are worshiping God. But that is filth, you know. And let's see what other thing they did apart from all the strange gods they did. They
and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand.
Yes.
And all their earrings which were in their ears.
So they also removed their earrings. And well, you need to ask yourself, what is wrong with that? Well, what was wrong with that is there was a conviction in them. Remember, Jacob did not tell them to remove their earrings. But a person who hears the word of God and the Spirit touches their hearts, you won't need to give them a list of do's and don'ts. The Holy Spirit will convict them in their heart and they will know something which is not part of God's program. And here they remove their earrings, which were in their ears. Now, I need to say something here, Brother Nzima. Someone will read something like Ezekiel 16, verse 11. And they say, oh, but, you know, God said something here. He decked people with all these ornaments. Let us read
Ezekiel
16, verse 11.
Okay.
And I'm mentioning this because, strangely, Brother Nzima, I have seen believers who've started wearing this kind of things.
No, that's a shame.
And they'll have all sort of things to justify why they're doing that. And usually it is becoming common among youngsters. Their mothers, their parents won't wear earrings. But these children who've grown up in the message, in the anti-message,
yes,
you see parents getting very loose and giving them freedom, you know, to do such things. You ask parents, they'll have some justification, oh, you know, but they won't do it. They know that's not a background they're coming from. But, you know, there is a falling away which is taking place. And people who are supposed to be ministers of the gospel speaking foolish, compromised words. Now, you will see pastors' children, it could be daughters, wearing clothes which are not befitting a believer. And you know what other thing which has caused this? It is young men who grew up in the faith.
Yes.
But then when it comes time to get married, they marry a girl from the world. And initially, this it starts like you are evangelizing this girl because, well, this is a common trend now. You know, I'm ministering the word of God to him, to her. And of course, well, if she sees you are interested in her, some of them will pretend and because they want to meet the minimum specifications of what that church requires. And well, after the marriage takes place, you see the brother begins to struggle. The wife now wants to dress in a certain way and all that. Because one can only pretend for a season. You know, if something is not part of them, they're trying to force a religion inside their hearts. But later on, well, their real selves will manifest. And another way it happens is where because, well, this young man wants to marry this girl, suddenly things he could not tolerate he begins to have a soft spot on such things to say, well, is there really something wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, all along when this gentleman was single, he lived a life which was full of modesty,
yes,
according
yes.
to what the Word of God teaches us. But later on, he meets the love of his life. And he begins to question certain things.
Mm, that's right.
Well, God cannot be mocked.
Mm.
You know, it is because of a heart which went after something of Babylon, and Babylon begins to convert you.
Mm.
And that is why children of God should not be yoked with an unbeliever.
Mm,
one will
right.
change the other.
Yes.
Light and darkness can never meet. And the problem is, you have young people, when they're seeking for a marriage partner, it's not something they take in prayer. Brother Nzima, you and I, you know how we got married.
Yes, yes.
It was something we took in fasting. We prayed, we supplicated before the Lord. We were waiting, Lord, is this the leading of your spirit?
Yes.
I tell you, brother, that doesn't happen.
And that's a shame.
And what is happening now, even when someone says, oh, pray for me, they've already made a decision, okay?
Yes.
There's no prayer in their lives. They're hanging around with
the wrong people.
Wrong people.
Yes.
You see, because you are an average of people you hang around with. If a young person is filled with the Holy Spirit, they are hungry, they seek God, they are in prayer.
Yes.
You know, they hear the word of God, and they fill their minds and hearts, you know, with the word of God. That word will bear forth fruit.
That is right. That's right.
That word won't want to hang around things of the world. And such people, you don't need to spell things out for them because they're in a true, intimate, close relationship with God. But when you see a character who has to ask every question, you know, is this hairstyle all right? Is this outfit okay? Well, you know what? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Because the Holy Spirit guides us into our truth.
That's right.
Even something which the scriptures are silent about, you will hear and feel the heartbeat of God about something. Now, let us read, what was that?
That was Ezekiel 16.
Right. Ezekiel 16, verse 11.
I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head.
Just there. So someone reads this and say, hey, Brother Piri, you know, here is God saying to Israel, I decked thee with ornaments, I put earrings, I put bracelets on you, so hey, we can do these things, it's all right. That's terrible. How do you read your Bible? How do you read your Bible? Is it your head which is reading the Bible? Or you have a soul in you that has a doorway which is opened to the voice of the Spirit to understand what you are reading? You know, it's like a person opening 2 Samuel 12 verse 8 to 9 and say, you know what? It is God who gave the many wives David had. It's God who gave it to him. So you know what? Polygamy is allowed by God. Now, let us read 2 Samuel 12, verse 8 to 9.
2 Samuel.
You know, because what I want to say is this. When your heart is not right with God, you can pull any scripture to justify your carnality. You need to know that.
8 to 9.
Yes, you can read that, brother.
And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little...
Can you start from verse 7, sorry? Start from verse 7. This is the prophet Nathan giving a word to David.
And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
Who did those things?
The Lord.
Yes.
And I gave thee thy master's house,
mm-hmm.
and thy master's wives into thy bosom.
Can I ask you something? How many wives should a man have according to God's ordained order?
One wife.
One. Now, one can pull a scripture like this and say, hey, you see, God tells David, I gave your master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel. Now, you know how people used to live in that time, Brother Nzima?
Yes.
You can inherit, you defeat one man, you can take his wives.
Yes.
You know, and you see things like that.
Mm.
Does it mean, oh, you see, it's God who did it?
Mm.
When you read about Deborah, you read about Deborah, you know, she was a judge, she was a woman. You know what Pentecostals say? You see, a woman can preach because Deborah did this and that. That's again, the question is, how do you read your scripture? You know what? The scripture is the mind of God. If you don't have this mind in your mind, you can fill your head with letters from Genesis to Revelation. You will miss what are God's thoughts.
Amen.
What's the heartbeat of God? What is the voice of God in what I am reading? For example, you look at Deborah. She was a woman judge. Does that mean that was the will of God? Yes, she used to prophesy. It's God who anointed her. Does that mean, oh, Deborah did this, so I can do that? Is that how you read the Bible? And if you are a preacher and that is how you read things, I must say you must not be in the pulpit.
Amen.
You still have a lot of learning to do. You need to close yourself up, stay in the presence of God until the mind of God fills your mind. Now, let us go to Judges 4, verse 8 to 9.
Judges 4, okay.
Many times when your heart is drawn to something, and you're even having a question about it, you need to ask, why is my mind having a question about this?
And Barak said unto her,
just hold on, brother. I just want to open.
Okay.
This is Judges chapter 4, verse 8. Now, remember, well, if we can start from this one, Brother Nzima.
Okay.
Yeah. Judges 4 verse 1.
And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead.
Now, we need to understand the setting. Israel is a backslidden nation. They're doing all sorts of wrong things. And God gives them up into the hand of the Canaanites. Verse 2.
And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar, the capital of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, now,
Just hold on, brother. Are you noticing how verse 2 starts? And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. So, who gave this Jabin? Who gave him the Israelites?
It was God.
So does Jabin stand up and say, you see, I'm the righteous person. You see, no, God has delivered you into my hands.
No, he doesn't.
You need to know that although these are God's people, he has put them in the hands of this Canaanite, not because it pleases God, but because of the fallen condition of these people. And in verse 3,
and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel.
Yes.
And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time.
So we see this woman prophetess, and by the way, it's God's will to anoint a woman where she can have a gift of prophecy. Nothing wrong with that, but nowhere in the scriptures does God make a woman be a priest in his temple,
yes,
or
that's right,
handling the authority of his word. Nowhere in the scriptures do you see a woman or female apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Those gifts are the authority of Jesus in the church. Okay? Those are rulers in the household of God. But here we see a woman who wasn't just a prophetess. And when I say prophetess is not the same thing as a prophet. You know, some people say a prophetess is a female prophet. Are you going to say a prophet is a male prophetess?
No.
Does that make sense?
It doesn't.
So a prophetess is just a gift of prophesying, seeing visions and speaking utterances. It starts there, it ends there. A prophetess does not take the scripture and begins to expound and say this means that and that. No. That is exercising authority, and 1 Corinthians 14:34, 1 Timothy 2 verse 12 doesn't allow that. Now, but here we see a situation where Deborah wasn't just a prophetess. She had authority in the nation of Israel as a judge.
That's right.
And people get excited when they see this. Oh, you see, as women, we can also do that. No. Go ahead and read verse 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So you see men, you see women, they go to this prophetess to seek for wisdom, to seek for counsel. Was that the will of God? Was that the perfect will of God? Or it was just the permissive will of God? Remember, we don't build permanent structures on the permissive will of God. When you read verse 8 now, you see something which happened. Israel was supposed to go for war. And now, look at this man who goes to the woman Deborah in verse 8 and 9, Brother Nzima.
And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I'll go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I'll not go.
So he wants this woman, you know, to come along. Why? Because she was a vessel who had the gift of prophecy. And so this man, Barak, tells her, please accompany us. But I want you to observe the words Deborah said, verse 9.
And she said, I'll surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
So why did Deborah make a statement like that? She said, okay, I'll accompany you, but you need to know that the glory that will come from there is not for a man. That already tells you what was happening for Deborah to be a judge, to be the one to guide them into war, was an abnormal thing. She says it with her mouth.
Yes.
She says, it shall be said, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
Yes.
To show you men of Israel, the nation is in a messed up state.
Yes.
Because when you read Isaiah 3 verse 12, it spells it out plainly. Isaiah 3 verse 12. You can read it, brother.
It says, as for my people, children are their oppressors.
Yes.
And women rule over them.
Now you see, this prophecy is speaking of something abnormal that is happening in the nation of Israel.
Yes.
Children are oppressing you. Now that is awkward, because children are supposed to be ruled over. They're supposed to be under control. But here God says, hey, there's something strange in Israel. Children oppress you and women rule over you. Why? When you read Genesis 3, God had put an order that a man should rule over a woman. We can read that. I don't know why we've digressed, we've gone into this, but someone maybe may need to hear this. So Genesis 3 and verse 16, unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, so now, why are we reading this, Brother Nzima? I'm simply trying to point out the fact that people can read scriptures wrongly simply because the heart has an appetite for something, and then it wants to read what it wants to read out of the scripture without understanding why something happened in a way it happened. Okay, and going back to Ezekiel chapter 16, here is an illustration where God speaks of Israel as a child who was abandoned. It grew up, God decked it with all these ornaments and all these, you know, decorations and all that, but later on it rebelled, played the harlot, you know, against God after giving it all these things. It's just like, you know, killing another person is not right.
Yes.
That's not God's perfect will. Mm. That is why when you read the prophecy of Isaiah, it says, when the Messiah comes, he shall teach nations to war no more. War has never been God's desire or perfect will.
Mm.
God's perfect will, we can see it in the millennium, in eternity, when there won't be war, they won't be killing each other, nations will learn war no more. Mm. But do you know it is the same God who would speak to David, arise, you win the war, telling people to get their swords and all that. We don't live by that standard. Today we are believers. As a believer, you strike me on the right cheek, I'll give you my left one. I am not to revenge, right?
That is right.
Now, that is the ideal. That is what God desires of us. So, God is interested in how we dress.
Mm.
What do we portray? Do you know, Brother Nzima, a long time ago, like one time Brother Verema expressed it, if you went to a strange place, town, and you don't know where is the fellowship you can go to go and worship, to go and gather.
Mm.
As a believer, you could simply stand by a roadside and monitor people walking if it's a Sunday service. And you could notice a sister going by the way she dressed, starting from her hair, starting from the way the dress is long enough and all that. And you could take a gamble, so to speak. Say,
yes.
Let me speak to her. I think she looks like she's a believer.
Yes.
And it would happen. You say, yes, I go to a message church.
Mm, that's right.
You could tell that from her hair down to her feet.
Mm.
Because it was very easy to identify a message believer. Mm. Hey, do you know that's no longer the case? You try to stand one Sunday morning, you just won't identify a believer. It is not coming that easily, because
that is true.
With time, the message is dying out of the minds of the people in the name of they're becoming more tolerant, they understand things better. Listen to me, you're not understanding things better. Yes. You are a backslidden church.
Yes.
Remember the vision of Brother Branham when he saw the vision of those women who were nicely dressed and decent. At the end of the line, there were those who started moving out of step.
Yes.
And the prophet screamed, get back in line. You know, and it is such a pity, in many assemblies around the world, in different nations, the young ladies especially who are growing up, there is a big difference between the elderly folk in the church and the younger ones who are coming in these congregations. You can see that the young ones, they were born in the message, and they think they're believers simply because they were born in the message, and that is where the compromise is stepping in. And sadly, much of the ministers, what we have as preachers, they've ended up in a state of Eli. You know Eli, Brother Nzima?
Yes.
The one who was mentoring Samuel, the prophet.
Yes, yes.
Later on, when he grew old, his children started behaving in bad ways, but something worse happened. His sight was getting dim. And there was a law which said the light in the temple should never go out.
Yes.
But Eli grew very old. He slumbered, he slept, and he didn't see the light went off. And that was a big tragedy in Israel. That is happened among many ministers and preachers. They've served God for so many years. But you know what's been happening? The eyes are growing dim. At one point, they would see women dress wrongly. They would go to the pulpit, admonish the people, remind believers how they need to dress. With time, well, it is happening right in the home of a pastor. The children don't know how to dress. The pastor's wife doesn't know how to dress.
Yes.
They'll take this makeup wig, put it on her head, and they'll go to these saloons, buy wigs, and until you see a bunch of believers, you can't tell whether they are this charismatic or Pentecostal bunch, or they're really in the faith. And they will use and twist all sort of things, you know, to try to justify that. Listen to me. If you have the Holy Spirit, it will convict you.
Yes.
You know, you won't try to pull some quotation or some scriptures you want to twist to satisfy your carnality. And then, well, some assemblies which are still staying in the old ways, they'll be looked upon as extremists, old-fashioned. Well, it's the old word, is it not?
That's right.
And this is the situation we are in today, my brother. But you know what? I want to stick with the old scriptures.
Amen.
And let's read first. Let's close with, well, First Timothy. I want to read, first let's read 1 Timothy 2 verse 9. You can read it, brother.
In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel.
In modest apparel, yes.
With shamefacedness and sobriety.
Do you know what that means? Shamefacedness, you know, there's a way a woman needs to behave, especially where they are men. She shouldn't be as talkative and, you know, there is something about a character of a woman which becomes beautiful when she knows how to carry herself. But do you know, Brother Nzima, that these things I'm speaking sound very old in the 21st century?
No, yes, they do.
Say, oh, no, 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 no. You know, and there are all these nouns which have come up, self-love. You know, you have to be confident. It is true, you have to be confident. But as a daughter of Abraham, you know how to carry yourself.
Amen.
And sons of God know what to look for in daughters of God. You know, and it says in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with
broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean sisters should look dirty and all that, no. When it says broidered hair, what does that mean? Okay, and that's quite an issue. Now, when you read New Living Translation, it says, and I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Now, you see, people do all sorts of elaborate, actually another version says elaborate hairstyles. Now, Brother Nzima, you can see how worldly people, women, do their hair. They will do it in such a twist. If they move here, everyone will turn their heads to see. So, wow.
Yeah.
Now, you can't bring it down to a particular, you know, for example, if a woman has plaited her hair just to maintain it, you know, there are these things they do to their hair to maintain them and all that.
Yes.
We know, we're able to discern something which is normal. It's been done for the normal maintenance of hair, or, well, for her to simply look good. There is something we can look at and we know that it's within what is known as modesty. But, you know, when you're dealing with these things, it's not something which can be reduced to an objective or a mathematical formula to say, oh, you know what, you need to do it this way and that way.
Yes.
And that is where discernment comes in. If one is a child of God, they won't give preachers all sorts of problems. Why? There's a spirit that tells them, what is the limit to this thing? And when one is spiritual, they will know this is not right. But when you have a kind of people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, they want to find an argument in any kind of a line of a scripture.
Yes.
You know, like when I was in Kenya and it was on a TV program and there were so many questions, and one question was asked about that. And in responding, I said, well, what really is the motive for doing that? What really is the motive? It's like a person who smokes and says, yeah, you know what? It's not written in the scriptures that I should not be able to smoke. And one thinks they're giving a legitimate answer in speaking a stupid thing like that.
Yes.
But now, a child of God will know what line they've crossed.
Mm.
Because you know what? We're not living under the law.
Yes.
We're living under grace. But do you know that in living under grace, the law has been magnified?
Yes.
Now, let us read, let us close with 1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 6.
1 Peter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be warned by the conversation of the wives.
Mm-hmm.
While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
Yeah.
Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair.
So now there are three things which should be mentioned here. Your adorning, or the way things which should be attractive about you, should not be about three things I mentioned. It should not be the outward adorning of what? Number one?
Adorning of plaiting the hair,
mm-hmm.
of wearing of gold,
mm-hmm.
of putting on of apparel.
Now, let me mention these three things because confusion can begin right from here. Because when one reads plaiting the hair, now, when you're speaking to white people, they have straight hair.
Yes.
And what you call plaiting the hair, if you come to an African woman, you may use the same phrase, but hey, you could be talking about two different things and how they appear.
Mm.
All right? Now, where it says the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, others have come up with a doctrine to say, you know what? If a sister, here we quote Mikule, is it?
Yes, yes.
If a sister does a thing like that or twists the hair, maybe she arranges her hair in such a way, there are those who would say, no, that should not be done. You know, a woman should just leave her hair like that.
Mm.
Again, you don't understand what you are reading. You don't understand what you are talking about.
Hmm.
If that is the application, I want you to observe this thing. You see, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of, number one, plaiting the hair,
wearing, and of, wearing of gold,
and
of putting on of apparel.
So let us start with the last thing. Let us take each sentence. Let us split it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us focus on each sentence. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of putting on of apparel. What does that mean? Does it mean, oh, women should not wear apparel? They should not wear clothing. So if you read this thing wrongly, you're going to have someone walk naked, and that's what it means to adorn themselves right.
No.
But now, Brother Nzima, you would know that two people can wear apparel. They can wear clothing. Mm. But there'll be one you can say, well, that person has really put on clothing.
Yes, dressing to kill.
Uh-huh. And you know the meaning that comes with that.
Yes.
Two people can wear shoes, but I can say, well, Brother so-and-so, he had worn shoes today.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, you understand what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
So what is Peter speaking about? Peter is speaking about this layer of vanity,
mm-hmm.
this worldly attachment to it.
Yes.
Brother Nzima, you've seen how Pentecostal preachers dress today, these big guys.
Yes, very glittery, shiny.
Yes, they wear goldenish clothing. It would be a type of a suit. I don't know how many thousands of dollars they did to put on a suit like that. Mm. You drive, Brother Nzima. I have a vehicle.
Mm.
But you know, I can have a vehicle where you can say, Brother Piri has a vehicle.
Yes. When it passes
a Bugatti, well, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It should not be difficult for us to see what Peter is talking about here, where we don't just dress for the sake of dressing, but we are dressing to kill, to be a point of attraction, where your outfit causes heads to turn. That is vanity.
Yes.
You know, the way you dress tells me what goes on in your mind.
Mm.
You know, you like you have these youngsters in churches today. They put a stylish beard, the way they would trim it, and you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
You know, and it tells you what is the character of this person. You know, how much time does he spend on the mirror to do what he does? Mm. Well, brother, we're not coming from such a background.
No, we're not.
But we looked decent, okay? Mm. You wear an outfit. Nothing wrong with wearing a very good, nice suit.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you need to know when something is becoming vanity And, well, people can see that, well, there's a worldly spirit in the heart of this brother or in the heart of this sister.
That's right.
People who are spiritual should be able to tell that.
Mm.
You see young people trying to make their hair curly.
Yeah.
He's a boy, but the kind of appearance he wants to do to his face, he wants to powder his face, he wants to put on a funny style of a beard and all that.
Yes.
Brother, be careful.
Mm.
You need to check what spirit is in you. What things are you spending time looking at?
That is true.
You can look good, you can look smart, but you need to know when vanity is filling up your mind.
Mm.
Now, when we are children of God, our adorning, let it not be that of putting on of apparel or wearing of gold. Mm. Now, one can wear a ring, right?
Yes.
Now, you know that there are churches like, for example, certain Adventists, they don't allow wearing a ring. They say, because we are not supposed to wear gold or anything like that.
Yeah.
Again, you don't understand what you are reading.
Yes.
Okay? When something is worn on purpose, for example, a ring, you're not wearing it to cause attraction.
Mm.
It's a symbol. Nowhere are we taught that during marriage you are supposed to wear. It's something of a culture, a modern culture, which shows you are married.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And well, it doesn't do any harm to your body. It is something which is not in the extremes. There's nothing wrong with a ring.
Mm.
Again, if your wife says, well, there's a particular ring I really desire, I think it looks good. Again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
But again, what do you see people doing now, even preachers? On a hand, there are 2-3 big rings, very silver, gold.
Yes.
And you can see, as he is preaching, you are looking at how much is that thing? I mean,
even the watches,
yeah, even the watch. I can wear a watch, brother.
Yes.
And well, there's nothing wrong to say, well, I want to buy a very good, nice watch. Yes. Nothing wrong with putting on a very good, nice watch. If it is expensive, again, nothing wrong.
Yes.
But again, you could wear a watch which manifests a vain spirit which is in you.
Yeah, that's true.
So likewise, when it says, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair. You need to ask yourself, what kind of plaiting the hair is this? Okay? If a sister, and again, I'm trying to speak this in the context of African sisters, when we talk about plaiting the hair, you know, one word can mean different things in different cultures, so you have to be careful.
Mm.
Here in Zambia, when you say, oh, she plaited her hair, that means different things.
Mm.
What kind of plaiting is it? Is it... you know, these crazy styles which
in
really...
In Nigeria, it's called Niger Bridge, something.
you know, someone does this kind of plating.
Yes.
Where it really is a manifestation of vanity.
Yes.
But you need to be careful.
Yes.
Let's say a sister does a plaiting of the hair, you know, it's part of her maintenance, it's part of her wanting to look good. There is nothing wrong if one puts on a kind of a plait which is decent,
yes,
which is all right.
Mm.
However, when you look at the world, there is a twist they'll give it where you can see that now has crossed the line and it's becoming vain.
Mm.
Before you realize it, they'll put a wig in there.
Mm.
They'll put something which makes it fancy, which makes it worldly.
Yes.
And now this is not something you're going to say, okay, what would be the degree of fancy? Or if it looks shiny, up to what? When you look at a church and it goes down arguing on those things, well,
yes,
you've turned into a worldly bunch.
Yes.
And what causes that? It's a bunch of people who have no infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because a sister who is spiritual, she will know what is right.
Yes.
Because under grace, you don't need one to give you a list of laws, do's and don'ts.
Mm.
And the problem we have why these things are becoming center stage of debate and all that is simply because spirituality has taken flight out of the church.
That's right.
And so you find people now arguing on how many paths should one have? And what has caused that? Carnality.
Yes.
What's the answer? The answer is not calling for a meeting to talk about what should we do about this and that.
Yes.
The answer is take your church back to prayer.
Yes.
Take your church back to hearing the message.
Mm.
These things are as simple can be when people are led by the Spirit.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah. Wow.
Brother Nzima,
mm.
It comes down to the thing that
yes,
God is interested in the way we look. And now, I seem to have hit so hard on sisters. Well, that is where much of the problem is, even in the world.
Mm.
When it gets hot, Brother Nzima, here in Zambia, when it's summer,
yes,
you see women exposing flesh, breasts, thighs, everywhere. You know what they yeah. say? It is hot.
Yes.
I've never seen a man do that. A man go to work in a shirt and say, it's hot.
Yes.
That already informs you. A woman has become part of the devil's agenda.
Yes.
You look at an advert, it will be talking about tires of a vehicle, how strong they are.
Mm.
You see a woman, half-dressed woman there holding a tire. What has a figure of a woman to do with a motor vehicle's tires?
Mm.
You can see we are living in a world which has sexualized the appearance of a woman, and many women don't realize this.
Yes.
The kind of clothing they sell in the boutiques and all that,
mm.
it has to expose, accentuate the figure and appearance of a woman. And women, don't you realize that's the agenda behind?
Mm.
To make a man look at you and say, well, she looks sexy and all that.
Yes, yes.
And it's so terrible that this thing has come inside the church.
Mm.
A place which is supposed to be a worship place, it is throwing confusion in the minds of these young men who keeps looking at this woman and how she's dressed and making matters worse. She's even leading songs
yes.
in front with mm. her bums, you know, so tight and
mm.
showing like that. Such a disgrace. It's not the grace of God. It's a disgrace. It's
shame.
Shameful.
Yes.
What has happened? In the beginning, when man sinned, God clothed the nakedness of a man. But what has happened today? Man walks in the presence of God.
Mm.
If at all the presence is even there,
mm.
with nakedness. And when you look at these outfits, sorry, if I can mention this, if you can look at these outfits, the outfit of a woman, do you realize, Brother Nzima, a woman has been undressed?
Yes.
Because, please, permit me to read this scripture.
Mm.
Let us read, you know, there is one place in the scripture where God spoke of how he would expose the shame of a woman. I want you to hear how it was phrased in
yes.
Isaiah 47, verse 1. Isaiah 47. I just want us to see what the devil has done in this day.
Yes.
Isaiah 47, verse 1 to 3.
Come down and sit in the dust,
mm-hmm.
O virgin daughter of Babylon.
Mm.
Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate.
Mm.
Take the millstones and grind mill and cover thy locks. Make bare the leg and cover the thigh. Pass over the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen.
Now, I want you to observe this. When God speaks about this bad time will come, I'll make you uncover your legs so that your thigh is seen.
Mm.
And he calls these things shame. Your shame shall be seen. Meaning when your thighs are seen, your yes. shame has been seen.
Yes.
Why? A woman's body is sacred. It needs to be covered.
Mm.
Okay? But you know the trick of the devil? He won't uncover you
completely.
Completely where people see your skin.
Mm.
He fools you to make you still think you are covered when you are not.
Yes.
So what does he do? He introduces a trousers which shows everything. It shows all the curves. It shows all the linings. It shows the yes. linings of the pant. It yes. shows you are actually showing your thigh, but under a stupid lie that no, it's actually a skin tight.
Mm.
Trousers, you've won. One is actually naked, except there is another layer of a skin they've added, we call a cloth. It's nothing but just a thick layer of a skin.
Yes.
That is what is at play. Instead of wearing a loose blouse, one wears something which is tight enough to show the breast, even to show the imprints of the nipples.
Yes.
You know what that is? It's naked.
Yes.
You've just added another layer of a skin made of fabric. What has happened to our women? They are actually undressed.
Yes.
They wear, what do you call these things? I don't know what they call them. This thing which is like a sock, like a stocking, but it's actually a shirt, and they wear, and they're walking
the
in the streets.
The see-throughs. Sometimes.
No, not a see-through. You know how your stocking
yes.
holds your leg? Eh?
Yes.
But now
Leggings.
Well, they call them leggings. I don't know what they call them.
Or spaghetti, something.
These are things which grandmothers, if at all those things were there, they wore in the bedroom.
Bedrooms, yeah.
Today, daughters are wearing in the public what grandmothers wore behind the bedroom. It's called style. It's called being open. It's called being progressive. Listen, those are wrong names. It's stupidity. It's foolishness. It's a mental problem. You know?
It is.
You won't see a man, it's a summer, and he's wearing, exposing his legs and his thighs, and he says, it's hot. No, it's not. It's foolishness.
Yes, it is.
And this has made taking the Christian message to the Muslims very difficult.
Yes.
Because when a Muslim looks at Christianity, a Muslim sees a religion that tolerates women walking about naked. A Muslim looks at Christianity, they see the Pope saying we can bless gay marriages.
Yes.
Do you think a Muslim can convert to the Christian message?
No.
It's the devil's tactic to present falsehood as the gospel before the world.
Yes.
And people who walk in the truth are such a minority. And when we speak about these things, we look like oddballs. We look old-fashioned. We look... one tactic of the devil is to create labels. They are extremists. They are this and that. Hey, if you call yourself a Christian and you are listening to this, I call you to repentance. If you want to know more about this way of righteousness, this way of the word, and you have questions, please write to us. Text me, +260 979 316 098.
Amen.
Well, sorry, Brother Zima, I've taken so long, but...
No, it was very necessary.
We need to talk about these things.
Yes, so maybe just to sum up one or two things.
Yes.
You mentioned Aaron's sons. These actually saw God. In other words, we can't be familiar with God. We can't forget the small things.
Yes.
They saw the God of Israel. They were there on that hill.
Right.
But God came to slaughter them when they made that mistake, which seemed like a simple thing. So dressing, we worship the Lord in a dressing. Then someone said, dressing makes a personal statement about you.
True.
Just the first instance a person sees
True.
You. And the world of fashion is full of vanity. The intent is to make a sale, to make business.
Yes.
That's all it does. And you also talked about adornment in Timothy and in also Peter.
Yes.
So the key word there was to say they should not adorn themselves appropriately. What is to adorn? To make one more beautiful, attractive. Meaning the degree of decorating yourself matters.
Yes.
Jezebel was an example of a woman who painted in the Bible, and we know how she died. The face was painted. She died, dogs ate her up, but the fingers which were painted and the face, they were left out. So I believe this message, Pastor, it's a very timely message.
Amen.
It's very much needed. And I believe if somebody listens to it sincerely, it will help you. It will give you life.
Yes.
It may be bitter, but that bitterness is where the medication is.
Amen.
So I believe if we are children of God and we love the Lord, we will love his instructions. So the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Saints, until we meet again.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
one course way.